Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. It's time to climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. Good evening, Nnamdi.
And a good evening, Sonny.
Ghana's Royal Storm, Isaac Dogbe, defends his WBO Super Bantamweight title Saturday night when he fights Japan's Hidenori Otake at the Gila River Arena in the western U.S. city of Glendale, Arizona, near Phoenix. Let's begin with the venue, Nnamdi. Why Arizona?
Arizona is the venue because the co-main event, Raimondo Beltran, has got a title defense. He's the WBO lightweight champion. So he brings his crowd. And I understand, too, Sonny, this is an ESPN fight. Millions of eyeballs around the globe. So it's not all about the gate and the live gate. Talk about the TV eyeballs from around the globe.
The unbeaten Dogbe bidding for his third victory of 2018 and the 20th of his professional career. Let's recap what he's done this year, Nnamdi. In early January, at the Bukum Boxing Arena in Accra, Ghana, Dogbe stopped Mexico's Cesar Juarez in the fifth round. And at the end of April, the 23-year-old Ghanaian scored an 11th-round technical knockout victory against American Jesse Magdaleno in the eastern U.S. city of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Now, Dogbe will be trading punches on Saturday with an experienced Asian opponent. The 37-year-old Otake has won his last 9 bouts, 5 by knockout, and has an overall record of 36 wins and 3 losses. Dogbe says he's not underestimating the Japanese fighter.
I know he's physically strong. He's got nothing to lose. He's going to count everything that he's got, throwing punches from all angles. But we are ready. We've sourced him out. We've seen the things that he does right and the things that he doesn't. So we're ready to play on his weaknesses and his strengths. So August 25th, we're looking forward to knocking him out and then moving on.
What about this Japanese fighter, Otake? Can he be a threat to Dogbe's title?
Otake is a very strong fighter. He comes to fight. But understand also that he is 5'5". He's taller than Dogbe. If he can keep Dogbe outside, he can win by decision. On the other hand, he is 37 years old, and Dogbe is only 23. If Dogbe can get past the jab, stay inside, and break down his ribs, Dogbe may end up scoring another sensational knockout in this fight.
Nnamdi, you mentioned ESPN. How important is such television exposure to Dogbe's career?
Sonny, the key to the game today is television. And if you have a style that is TV friendly, the fans, they love it because you bring the knockout. Not only that, if you have a world-class promoter behind you, then you have it made. Royal Storm has all this going for him now. He brings the knockout. He brings action. The fans love it. The promoter is behind him. And he's on worldwide television on ESPN. We have a superstar in the making from Africa. A win over Otake by Dogbe, plus that win against Jesse Magdaleno. Now we're talking about a unification fight with the WBA Junior Featherweight Champion by the end of the year. If the Royal Storm is able to put all these fights together, now there's a talk of naming him Fighter of the Year, Sonny. Mega props. So if Saturday he takes you off Otake, and then we talk about the unification fight with Danny Roman in December, and all these fights on television, and he scores knockout Saturday night. Come December, he scores another knockout and unifies the title. You can't beat this dude, bro.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm talking with Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. our reigning prince of pugilistics. Namdi, what about another Ghanaian warrior, Richard Comey? What's going on with him?
Well, Sonny, if you remember, Easter against Garcia was a unification fight right here in my backyard at Staples Center, Los Angeles. And the winner of that fight had a mandatory fight for Richard Comey. Mickey Garcia won the fight against Easter. Now Mickey Garcia must conclude negotiations with Richard Comey's people by the 30th of August, or his belt will be taken away from him. But Mickey Garcia is not interested in fighting Richard Comey. He wants to step up to the welterweight class, two weight class from the lightweight, to fight Errol Spence. Son, you know what that means. A lot of money for Mickey Garcia. So what happens to Richard Comey? Well, the IBF will decide the next available opponent, and then Mickey Garcia will vacate the title, and we'll see Richard Comey fighting for a vacant title on his next fight.
Namdi, are any other African fighters making headlines?
Son, you know, we love it when the big boys, they show up. Efe Ajagba from Nigeria, Sonny. The Sunny Side of Sports Prospect of the Year. He's 5-0, 6'5", 230 pounds, tall, powerful, 5-0 with 5 knockouts, Sonny. He's rumbling, bro. The boy is doing it. He's going to do it on Friday on Fox, right here on the United States. We're talking about eyeballs. Love to see this young Nigerian heavyweight doing it, knocking cats out on television. You can't beat it, son. He's in position.
Will F.A. be fighting in California, Namdi?
Well, the promoter is moving him around the U.S. And now when I spoke to him, Richard Schaefer, and he told me he's high on F.A. Ajagba, and then they will bring him to Las Vegas first before they bring him to Los Angeles. But right now, the key is that he's doing it on television, knocking out cats on television.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta. And we'll hear more hard-hitting boxing commentary from Namdi during Friday's show. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. During Friday's program, Namdi will talk about the September 15th World Middleweight title rematch in Las Vegas between Saul Canelo Alvarez of Mexico and Gennady Triple G Golovkin of Kazakhstan. Now, Canelo and Triple G are fighting almost a year to the day of their first encounter, which ended in a controversial draw. On September 16th, 2017, here's how the scoring went from the three ringside judges. 118 to 110 in favor of Canelo, 115 to 113 in favor of Triple G, and a 114 to 114 draw. Judge Adelaide Bird's scorecard of 118 to 110 in favor of Canelo was widely ridiculed. Many observers felt that Triple G had won a narrow, closely contested fight. After the controversial scoring of their first bout, extra scrutiny has been placed on the selection of officials for the rematch. One thing is clear, VOA boxing fans, Judge Bird won't be invited back. The Nevada State Athletic Commission has named three American judges for the Canelo Triple G rematch. Dave Moretti, who also worked Canelo Triple G 1, scoring at 115 to 113 in favor of Triple G. And the two other judges are Steve Weisfeld and Glenn Feldman. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. My VOA colleague Gwen Uten has some tennis news now as she looks forward to next week's U.S. Open tournament in New York. Sporty greetings, Gwen!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. This year's final Grand Slam starts in just 4 days, and the field is loaded. Here are some of the more notable placings. On the men's side, newly minted Wimbledon champ Novak Djokovic drew the number 6 seed.
I'm feeling great. I'm feeling very confident, obviously, after winning Wimbledon and Cincinnati and making history there. That was a huge confidence boost for what's coming up for US Open. This is the place where I always played well. I had plenty of success. I played 7 finals, I think, and won a title twice. Haven't played here last year. That was the first Grand Slam that I missed ever since I started playing professional tennis. So I was really sad that I couldn't play last year, but here I am, 1 year forward, and feeling very good about myself on the court and really looking forward to hit the courts.
South African Kevin Anderson, the runner-up at Wimbledon, is seated at number 5 and will retain his ATP world ranking. Germany's Alexander Zverev enters the tournament seated at number 4. 2009 U.S. Open winner Juan Martín Del Potro of Argentina is in the number 3 slot. And longtime rivals Rafael Nadal and Roger Federer enter the U.S. Open at the top of the draw for the first time since 2010. That year, Roger lost in the semifinals to Novak Djokovic, and Rafael Nadal went on to claim the title and complete the career Grand Slam. The last time Roger hoisted the trophy was in 2008, and the last time Roger and Rafa faced off at the U.S. Open was never. The U.S. Open is the only event that has never seen a Roger-Rafa matchup. They came close twice, and both times Juan Martín Del Potro intervened. First in 2009, when he defeated Rafael Nadal in the semifinals, and last year, again in the semifinals, when he defeated Roger Federer. One match away both times. So close. Could this be the year Roger and Rafa finally meet at America's Grand Slam? We may need to ask Juan Martín Del Potro. Moving on to the women's side, Serena Williams got a bit of a boost, drawing the number 17 seed. That's up 8 spots from her 25th seed heading into this year's Wimbledon tournament. Big sister Venus fell out of the top 10 to land one seed ahead of Serena at number 16. Germany's Angelique Kerber, this year's Wimbledon champion, jumped from the number 11 seed to enter the U.S. Open at number 4. American Sloane Stephens is one seed ahead of her at number 3. Denmark's Caroline Wozniacki has retained her number 2 slot, and with a Grand Slam title secured, Romanian Simona Halep enters the tournament as the number 1 seed for the first time in her career. 2 weeks of U.S. Open tennis action begins on August 27th and ends on September 9th, and we'll be serving up the results in the days to come. And that's all from me. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Still with U.S. Open tennis, the new Louis Armstrong Stadium has been dedicated in traditional New Orleans fashion in New York. American musician Wynton Marsalis led the band as the 14,000-seat stadium was dedicated to legendary jazz musician Louis Armstrong, who was born in New Orleans, Louisiana in 1901, and who died in Queens, New York, where the U.S. Open is played, in 1971. Wynton Marsalis is putting his trumpet to his lips. So let's enjoy the music from New York. We'll be right back. During the Louis Armstrong Stadium dedication ceremony, Katrina Adams, the U.S. Tennis Association's president and CEO, talked about the new venue.
On behalf of the USTA, it is my great pleasure to welcome you all here on this very special day as we formally dedicate this magnificent new Louis Armstrong Stadium, the final jewel in our five-year, $600 million transformation of the USTA Billie Jean King National Tennis Center. This beautiful new 14,000-seat stadium, complete with its own retractable roof, will provide our world-class U.S. Open players with another grand stage, and will provide our world-class fans with another great venue to experience all the thrills and excitement of the game.
That's Katrina Adams, the president and chief executive officer of the U.S. Tennis Association, and she spoke at the brand new Louis Armstrong Stadium in New York City, which will be hosting matches at next week's U.S. Open tournament. The 50-year-old Adams is quite familiar with the game of tennis. She's a former professional player who specialized in doubles. Katrina won 20 Women's Tennis Association doubles titles and more than $1 million in prize money before retiring in 1999. And as for the late, great Louis Armstrong, well, he's familiar. He was familiar with the Voice of America. He visited our VOA headquarters several times. In fact, during one of those visits, he recorded this special promo for us.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C. The great Louis Armstrong just had a stadium named for him at the U.S. Open Tennis Center in New York City. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Well, earlier we heard from Serbian tennis star Novak Djokovic in Gwen Uten's report. Another VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson, says Djokovic recently achieved a unique achievement at a tournament in Cincinnati, Ohio. And Jim begins his spicy sports report with some reaction from Djokovic.
Definitely one of the most special moments in my career and achievements.
Serb tennis player Novak Djokovic is the first singles player to capture the career Golden Masters.
Making a history of the sport that I truly love is a great privilege and honor, and something that I'll be very proud of for the rest of my life.
What's the career Golden Masters? It's all nine ATP World Tour Masters 1000 events, including Canada, Indian Wells, Madrid, Miami, Monte Carlo, Paris, Rome, and Shanghai. The missing and elusive piece to Djokovic's quest was Cincinnati.
Obviously, this trophy has been a motivation, big motivation for me. But at the same time, I tried not to think about the pressure of really making a history too much.
That's because he had several chances.
I tried for five times. I didn't succeed, and I kept on coming here, and I felt, to be honest, more pressure every time that I kept coming, and I haven't played this tournament for 2 years. 3 years back was the last time I was here.
And always in his way, it seemed, was Swiss great Roger Federer, who again reached the finals this week.
It wasn't easy psychologically because I knew that I lost to him every time I've played him on this court. But at the same time, I liked my chances because I felt better and better as the tournament week was progressing.
It was a rare day that Federer did not play well.
Yeah, it was definitely not my best day on the return. Yeah, that's it. It was just awful.
But always a class act, Federer used most of his time with the media to praise Djokovic.
This is an amazing accomplishment, and I hope he's extremely proud and extremely happy about this moment.
Djokovic also acknowledged the best active players, Federer and Spanish star Rafael Nadal, who inspire him.
They make me play my best tennis. They make me improve. They made me, you know, think about what I need to do in order to try to be the best player in the world. And having having not played Roger for over 2 years was really strange, to be honest.
Federer feels this could be the career highlight for Djokovic.
At the end, you're going to all judge it all together, bundle it up and see, like, okay, what was the coolest thing you ever did? And this might be it for Novak, besides winning all the slams and all these other things he's done already.
It's a special trophy for Djokovic, who has a special place to keep it.
Most of them are actually in Serbia. My parents, my father especially, is very proud and he keeps them. You know, we have a tennis club in Belgrade, and we have a little trophy room, so we keep it there.
Playing this well, will he add another U.S. Open trophy?
What was that question? Yeah.
200th time lucky, isn't it?
200 European Tour golf tournaments played, and Paul Waring of England finally gets a win.
I've been through a few ups and downs in my career with injuries, some good golf played, a few other bits and bobs along the way. So, you know, actually to finally get across the line, I'm, you know, absolutely ecstatic right now.
Waring survived a one-hole playoff against South African Thomas Aiken to win the Nordea Masters in Sweden.
I always felt like I had control of the golf ball to a point, so I wasn't too concerned with what other people were doing. I was very much in my own head, and I was very much, you know, trying to look after the things I can sort of control, really.
Aiken had some trouble on the greens that made the difference.
I had a couple of little missteps on 4 and 5, and then came back nicely. I just couldn't sink any putts. That was pretty much the story of the whole week.
Still, he enjoyed being in contention until the end.
All in all, I was pleased to manage to fight back and give myself a chance, but obviously disappointed with the playoff, but, you know, that's the way the cookie crumbles sometimes.
German Maximilian Kiefer was alone in third place, 3 shots back.
It's probably close to the best it's ever been, and yeah, if I can keep this up, that would be very nice.
For many players, it's a relatively short trip to play the Czech Masters in Prague. South African Hayden Porteous will be there. He's the defending champion.
I feel like I have, you know, really close ties here in Prague, and, you know, to obviously win Czech Masters and, you know, have a girlfriend from Czech, it's always nice to come here, and it's starting to feel more and more like home.
Porteous is a big hitter and likes the long course in Prague.
You know, some of the par fives are quite touch and go when it comes to going for them in two, and I feel like I have the length advantage to get those par fives in two. I think that's, you know, quite a big advantage on this course. I think you know, the par fours are quite tough as they are, and, you know, to, you know, have a pretty decent chance of making birdies on the par fives is exactly what I need to feel comfortable.
And he's had a variety of wins to round out his playing experience.
Most of my European wins were on home soil. You know, obviously Kenya's not home, but it is part of Africa. And Joburg Open, you know, it felt like I was playing in my back garden. Whereas, you know, Czech Masters felt a bit different. You know, winning on different grass is really tough. And, you know, to get that trust, like I trust myself in South Africa, is quite tough. And, you know, to pull off a win and feel comfortable on the European type of grass is an awesome feeling. And I felt like I took a huge step in the right direction.
That South African golfer, Hayden Porteous, the defending champion at the Czech Masters tournament. And thanks to my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson, for that spicy golf and tennis package. I encourage our VOA listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. And that wraps up the August 23rd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Mr. Chang. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. New data was released at the July 2018 International AIDS Conference demonstrating the HIV epidemic is coming under control in Namibia. Results from the Namibia Population-Based HIV Impact Assessment show that 77% of all HIV-positive adults have achieved viral load suppression, a widely used measure of effective HIV treatment in a population. This surpasses the UN's target of 73% by 2020. Compared with the UNAIDS 2012 estimates, Namibia has reduced its adult HIV incidence rate by 50% in the past 5 years. Namibia has made this tremendous progress through the expansion of HIV prevention and treatment services, with a focus on viral load suppression at the individual and community level, and the swift implementation of forward-leading HIV policies. Women ages 15 to 24 still have a far higher HIV incidence rate than same-aged young men in Namibia. This highlights the continued need for expanded primary HIV prevention in young women and ensuring all HIV-infected men, particularly those ages 25 to 35, receive life-saving treatment and are virally suppressed. These exciting new data demonstrate that a community-centered approach results in high community viral suppression, which decreases the rates of new HIV infections, said Ambassador Deborah Birx, U.S. Global AIDS Coordinator and Special Representative for Global Health Diplomacy. She said several African countries are now on track to reach HIV epidemic control by 2020, accelerated progress that was only possible because of partner country political leadership and their rapid adoption of policies focusing primary prevention and treatment resources for maximum impact. Centers for Disease Control Director Robert Redfield said CDC continues to support Namibia's efforts to control its HIV epidemic, and we remain committed to global efforts to change the course of the HIV pandemic and help save lives. The population-based HIV impact assessments are funded by the U.S. government through PEPFAR and conducted by the CDC, ICAP at Columbia University, and local governmental and non-governmental partners. With PEPFAR support, 4 additional countries, Ethiopia, Haiti, Kenya, and Rwanda, will release HIV data on a rolling basis throughout 2019, providing an ability to chart and validate further progress toward reaching epidemic control by 2020. Together, said Dr. Birx, we are making the impossible possible, moving farther and faster toward ending AIDS as a public health threat by 2030.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Douglas Simpoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Border Crossings knows you want the hottest music, and we're here to give it to you.
Give me something nice and shiny.
Join host Larry London at 1500 Universal every weekday in August for your chance to win a copy of the new Now That's What I Call Music Volume 67 CD.
Music to my ears.
Featuring the biggest hits from Maroon 5. Selena Gomez. I'd go back to you. Post Malone, Cardi B, and more. This is your all-access pass to the biggest songs of the summer.
Hey, 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 special delivery.
Don't miss out on your chance to snag a free copy of Now 67, with different ways to win every weekday in August.
I'm the girl who's going to win the special prize at the end.
Well, you do seem confident, and confidence is key.
Only on Border Crossings.
This is VOA.